Hello everyone, and welcome to this Victor Energy podcast. It's the fifth episode, I think. I'm Marianke Jansma, and I'm here together with Johannes Boonstra. And
Hello.
Hi. And Lucien Popescu.
Nice to be here.
Yes, nice to have you here. Well, could you start with the introduction of yourself?
Yeah, so I'm working for Victron for almost 8 years already. Before that, I was working as a distributor for Victron. So this is how everything started. I was the main distributor in Romania back then. And yeah, we were doing a pretty good job in there. We were growing a lot. And also the sales manager that was covering that area decided to retire. It was Ruud back then. And Matthias and Ruud together asked me if I would like to join the company because they saw, I don't know, something in me. I don't know.
Potential,
what.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what. And yeah, since then I'm working for Victron and I'm doing sales for 8 countries now. So I'm covering Eastern European countries. I can name them if you want.
Yeah.
There are 8. So I have, I'm doing Romania, Bulgaria, Moldova, Croatia, Czech Republic, Slovenia, Slovakia, and Hungary. So that's the area that I'm covering now. Every time there are new opportunities in sales and countries that are starting to grow, to evolve. Now I'm focusing a lot on Bulgaria and Moldova. Both of them are following a different path now and are starting to switch from cheap equipment to higher quality. They are discovering the advantages of using high quality products. And I'm doing some other things for Victron, not because I have to, just because I sometimes have the time and I like to play with electronics. So I was involved in developing the first EV charging station product. And since then we also prepared the second one and now we are working on some others. So that's basically my history here. I'm also involved in some software development products.
To start with EV charge, can you explain what an EV charger is? Because there are different models on the market. Sometimes you see them side the road. Sometimes you see them at people at home. What is what? And what are we doing?
Basically, there are two technologies. So there are AC charging stations and DC charging stations. What you see usually on the side of the road is a DC charging station because you want to charge fast. And with DC, you can charge up to, 250 kilowatts. But what we are doing is AC charging stations. And our charging station can charge up to 22 kilowatts. So that's 32 amps per phase if you're charging three phase and up to 7.3 kilowatts if you're charging single phase.
It's actually so that with DC, you're charging directly into the battery. So
yes.
The inverter is outside the car. And with AC, you're using the inverter, which is inside the car, right?
Yeah, the charger stays inside the car. Because it has to be very big to charge AC, you don't want to carry on your vehicle a huge inverter charger in there.
And most cars can do both, I guess.
Most cars can do both, yes. Yeah. Some of them are doing more on AC side, some of them less. Same on the DC. So, yeah, it depends on the technology they are using. Now there are also adding, you said inverter, normally it's just a charger on the vehicles, but for the new technology, vehicle to grid, it's really an inverter charger, same as our Multiplus, for example, because it's bidirectional, it can do both charging the batteries, but also discharging from the batteries into the, a load or directly to the grid. But that's something that it's coming, is not very well regulated yet, and is not a real standard between all the vehicles. At least for the vehicle to load on each vehicle brand, you have a different approach. On some of them, you have a connector that attached to the type 2 connector. On some others, you have a plug on the back or things like that. So it's not a standard yet.
Yeah.
I would like to have a standard on that because then we can add our own technology to those vehicles and allow I don't know, feeding back into the grid through our equipment or discharging the car battery into the house battery, things like that. But for now, not having a standard, it's complicated. And I'm saying this because we are receiving lots of questions, yeah, V2G related and V2L related. And the reason why we are not starting anything until we see a standard protocol between all the car manufacturers.
But for us, for Victron, we are a brand which do, well, inverter chargers and so on. What was the reason that we needed an EV charger? Because you have many brands out there. And basically, if you do AC charging, yeah, what would we do differently than others? Well, why would people choose for a Victron EV charger instead of, well, name a brand?
The reason was the ecosystem. That was the reason. And this is how I wanted to start everything because...
If you talk about ecosystem, what exactly do you mean?
The rest of the Victron products. And what was missing in this ecosystem was a solution to charge, for example, excess power from the PV directly into the car when, for example, you are off-grid and that energy is completely lost, or when you are grid connected but you are not allowed to feed back into the grid, or the prices for energy are actually you have to pay if you are feeding back into the grid. It doesn't make any sense to pay the grid operator for your own energy. You better charge your vehicle when you have access, and basically it's making the whole system pay back faster.
So you have control over where your energy is going, and you can also control your EV charge. And that's not what other chargers easily can do.
Most of them are not. Most of them are just simple chargers. On some of them, it's not even possible to change the charging current. So some of them are just black boxes with a cable. You connect the cable, and basically that's it. You are waiting for the vehicle to be charged. But with our charging stations, you have lots of information. It even displays the informations from the rest of the Victron system and adapts to, I don't know, excess energy. Soon we will also have the possibility to adapt based on price energy. So that's also coming. Mm. So to charge...
The day ahead pricing, you mean?
Sorry?
The day ahead pricing?
Yes. So to choose the right moment for charging your vehicle.
So do you need a Victron system to have this EV charger working, or?
It can work as a standalone device, and you have the basic functionality plus some advantages of controlling the power, accessing it remotely, and so on. But if you want the whole thing, all the features to be available, then it should be part of a Victron system.
Mm-hmm. And then there are different types of EV chargers, right? So there's... Which types are there?
You're talking about Victron EV chargers. Yeah, we have two types. Basically, there are not many differences between them, at least not now. We have one with screen, one without a screen. The one with screen, it's a bit more industrial looking. So some of them are saying it's even ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the users. And we have another one that looks better and it's easier to install, but it doesn't have a screen. But on the inside, everything is identical. It can do the same thing. It can charge with the same amount of power. So basically the same device. It's just
the aspect. Looks are different.
Yeah. The newer has Bluetooth as well, right?
No, both of them have Bluetooth.
Okay.
Mm. On the new one, on the one without screen that looks better, the Bluetooth is active by default. So we are selling it with Bluetooth enabled. The other one was designed before, and the Bluetooth is disabled for a security reason because the PIN code was not programmed during the production, and it's going to have the default PIN code as 0000, 6x0. So for safety reasons, we are not enabling automatically. The user has to to enable it, and while doing so, it is the application is recommending the user to change the PIN code.
Yeah, that's safer.
Yeah, that's why we are not delivering it with Bluetooth enabled.
And then of course the new one also comes in different colors. So you can choose also different
Basically it comes in blue, but the front cover can be swapped with different colors. So you can buy external front covers from our shop. So
Which
you have
colors?
White and black.
Ah, white and
so
black.
So the default one is blue, and you can buy white and black.
Okay.
So then you can install it probably on every house with no matter what the color of the house is. You have some colors that match everything. Let's say black and white, I think, can be used with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes developed also something technical, and always when you develop something, you have something in mind what you want to do tomorrow or next week or, well, next year. What is the idea on the EV chargers? Are we there already, or other functions that say, it would be nice, and in a little more effort, I will put these features also in?
Yeah, we are, for more than 1 year, we are working on the next generation. So the version 2, it's coming probably next year, 2025. We are already, the prototypes available. We are working with them. Lots of new features are coming.
Just name a few.
So based on the community reactions and the recommendations, we added, the first one was Ethernet, because lots of users were complaining that the current charging station are can be connected only to Wi-Fi. So Ethernet was added. Then the second one was relays for each phase. So basically for automatic mode, what we were discussing earlier, that you can charge with excess power. So the automatic mode can charge single phase, and then if there is enough power, it will switch to three-phase mode and continue charging. Why that? Because the minimum charging current for the vehicles, it's 6 amps. So if you charge three-phase with 6 amps, it's, let's say, around 4 kilowatt. But if you have excess power, only 1 kilowatt or 1.7 or something like that,
4 is too much.
It's not going to start. So for a small house, 4 is too much indeed, especially during the winter time. So the new charging station will start single phase with 6 amps, one phase. And when the power is enough to switch to three phase, it will switch to three phase mode. Then we have the RCD. So for the current charging station, the RCD should be installed externally. So it's not part of the device. On the new one, it will be inside. What else? We have a certified meter inside, so the charging station can be used for invoicing the charging costs. On the current version, it's just we are just measuring the current. Mm-hmm. We don't know the voltage, we don't know the power factor, so it's just an approximation, approximative value. With the new one, it's going to be very, very precise. So you can really
sometimes get the question also if it's possible in the future to detect which car is connected. So if you have a household with two different cars.
Yeah,
and that's, you would like to invoice, well, one, the company cars, let's say, and not the private car. Is that something which we are working on?
Yeah, that can be done in multiple ways. One way is directly communicating with the vehicle. And that's more related with V2G, what we were discussing earlier, because you need to communicate with the vehicle, and it's a special module that has to be added inside the vehicle, and it's pretty expensive. So it's going to be an accessory, let's say, the V2G part. And then you can get the VIN number, the serial number of the vehicle, and based on that you can detect with what vehicle it's charging. You can even create profiles and allow only your vehicle to be charged. If you have the charging station installed externally, for example, in a public place, you can have a list of accepted devices, and only those can be charged. Then there is another way. You can do it with an NFC card. So only when you are approaching that card, you will be allowed to charge the vehicle. But it's not really related to vehicle. It's related to user who's using that card. I mean, the same person can have two cars and
use for tax reasons that will not be allowed, I guess. I think then you have to be on the different step of identification.
Yeah. And we have another idea, but I prefer to discuss about that one later, because
that's secret.
I want to keep it secret.
Maybe next episode.
Okay. So now we have to try to get that out of our vision, of course. Yeah.
Next podcast.
Yeah.
So can you charge every electric vehicle with the charger?
Yeah. It's every a standard brand. Protocol. There are no differences between them.
Okay.
So I don't know any vehicle that is not working with our charging station. I mean, there are some issues, but most of them are related to the way the charging station is installed. On some of them, the ground is missing. I mean, I saw in the community so many cases, but it's not our charging station related. If they are installing this in the same place or in the same way, the other brand is going to be the same if they are not following the rules for correctly installing the charging station.
Okay. Is it easy to install? Can someone do it themselves, or?
We are talking about pretty high currents. So we are talking about 32 amps and three phase and 22 kilowatt. I mean, if you are technical enough, you can do it. But based on different country regulations, I think on most of them, you have, I mean, a special qualified engineer has to do it, installer. I think that's in most of the countries, probably same for you, Johannes.
Yeah.
But yeah. I saw many users doing that by themselves. I don't know if it's legal or not.
I have a technical question for you. Yes. And what I've learned in the field, basically, is that more and more people who live also off-grid want to charge their cars. And then often they say, well, I don't have that much energy, so take it slow. So have the charging current on the vehicle as low as possible. But then what people noticed was that the car uses a lot more energy when going slow than going fast. Yes. So it's a little bit contradictory. If you have an off-grid system, going fast takes less energy to charge than going slow. What's the reason behind that?
The reason is exactly the same that we have on our efficiency table on our inverter chargers. So if you are too slow, the efficiency will be lower. If you are somewhere in the middle of the total power of the device, that's where you have the highest efficiency. And again, if you are going to the top side of the power of that inverter inside or charger inside the vehicle, again, the efficiency is going lower. So I don't know if the charger inside the vehicle is, let's say, 11 kilowatt. For most of the vehicles, the maximum efficiency is somewhere in the middle. So six, okay. Something like that.
So the advice is not go too slow, but also not go at the max.
Yes. Both of them are on both sides, you have less efficiency than somewhere in the middle.
And yeah, I noticed there was devices. A 30-35% difference even.
Yeah.
So on a battery charge for a car, that's a lot of energy.
Yeah. So yeah, especially for off-grid, my recommendation would be better to charge the backup batteries first and then discharge from the backup battery together with whatever you have available from PV. But we're using not the minimum charging current. Go higher, I don't know, 10 amps, something like that.
This
is a very good question. I saw so many times, and there are vehicles where the efficiency is even lower. For example, on Renault Zoe, on the old models, they are not even allowing to charge with 6 amps because the efficiency would be so bad. And even at 10 amps, the efficiency, the loss, it's something like 30%.
Really?
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you harvest that with your solar panels, so it's loss on loss on loss.
Yeah.
So the amount of extra panels which you need is enormous.
So you better wait a bit to charge the backup batteries and then start charging with more.
Yeah.
Because you are losing less power, less energy. Yeah.
So just to recap, why would you choose a Victron charger, EV charger, instead of a regular one?
I mean, if you have the Victron system, then that should be the right way to do it. It gives you so many options. If you don't have a Victron system, then you still should buy a Victron charger, and later you should add the rest of the system.
Your sales manager talking here.
No, just because it gives you this flexibility. With a normal charging station, you don't know anything about what's happening behind this charging process. With our charger, you can control everything, you can monitor, you have statistics, so that helps. Of course, there are users that don't want to know. I mean, it's too many technology around us, and you want to limit the information you are receiving from all the devices. But if you are a bit more technical, or you want to have control, then yeah, that should be the right way to do it.
Yeah, and also that you can use excess PV power to charge.
Yeah.
In short, what I always learned is if you want to make a smart system, then the devices have to overlap each other.
Of course.
Because if they overlap, then they can supplement each other. So in order to overlap, you have to have a communication.
Yeah.
And this one is perfectly fitting in with overlapping other devices.
Yep.
And then, we thought about a lot of intelligence in the system. But I know also, you know that as well, that a lot of people use things like Node-RED to create even more, private preferences. We say, well, this is what would happen at this point, and so on. And I think also this structure will allow you to, come up with any intelligence what you want.
Yep. I mean, there are users that created their own automatic mode for the charging station completely externally in Node-RED. I saw on community they are even sharing their
flows,
the code for Node-RED, And there is a huge community. There are lots of guys sharing ideas between them and creating a different model. And we are keeping an eye on that because they are giving us ideas and we know from them what we should improve. And it's not only for this product. I mean, for all Victron products, we want to stay in contact with our customers because, yeah, Sometimes we can lose the focus, but keeping an eye on what's happening on the market and what they are saying, I think that's the right way to do it. And another reason is the price. We have a very good price on the EV charging stations. At the beginning, it was expensive, of course, because we were just ramping up the production and we started slow, of course. But now, since we are producing a lot, the price is very, very competitive. I mean, our charging station with all the features included, it's way cheaper than some other brands that are, as I said before, just black boxes with nothing. No control, no display, nothing.
Okay, so that's another reason to
That's a pretty important reason. And then you have the warranty, 5 years warranty for the device, and the support and the community. All these are reasons because... If you have a huge community behind that can help you, can give you ideas and so on, I think that's a good reason to start. And instead of using, I don't know, another product that it's new on the market and nobody knows about that one. And you can't get support. For me, for example, I'm always on the community answering questions. I'm not sure on how many companies we were discussing about that. I'm not sure on how many companies you can have something like that. The guys involved in the project to answer questions from the users.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any more things we should know?
I can.
Well, I have one important one that came out recently, and you were also involved in that project. That's about the app which you can have on your wearable.
Oh yeah.
That means if you have a phone, if you have a smartwatch. You can look at what the EV charger is doing, even switch it off or on.
Yeah.
So then you have always, up-to-date information on how your car is being charged.
And not only that. So 2 days ago, we've released a VRM app for smartwatches. So now we are supporting Garmin, Apple, and all the watches that are running the operating system made by Google. So like Samsung, Pixel, and so on. And for all these watches, you have you can monitor your system. So you have the main information from your system, like, I don't know, state of charge, PV production, grid consumption, loads, and so on. But you can also see now the temperatures from the temperature sensors and also monitor and control the EV charging stations. And this is the version one. More things are coming pretty soon, like controlling the relays, controlling the generators, and many more.
Yeah. So people that like gadgets, they cannot go loose then.
Yeah.
This new,
Yeah.
So it's a functional gadget. It is not only for fun. You can actually use them in a smart way so that it also adds on comfort or security or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, while you're on a bike or while driving, instead of looking on your phone, you just look at your watch.
You're not charging your car then when you're driving. But
No. I'm talking about seeing the rest of the seeing the rest of the system. I mean, if you want to see, I don't know, if you're for example, if you have a boat and if you want to see if it's charging, if it's still connected to the shore, if you have any kind of errors or issues, it's easier than looking on your phone or on your computer.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening.